Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio on this Thursday, October the 24th. Thank you for listening to AFR. And Ed Vitagliano is with me today. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
As is Walker Wildman.
Good morning.
And Chris Woodward is sitting in for the absent, yet esteemed, Fred Jackson.
Emeritus, yes.
Yes. Who's he married to? What'd you say?
Yeah.
Oh, emeritus.
Emeritus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess. No, what's? I thought I saw Fred around here.
I haven't seen him today. I think he's out today and Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just, okay. He taps me on the shoulder and says, fill in. I says, okay. Yes, sir.
We're stuck with Chris today.
Are we?
Yeah.
Again?
Again.
We're teasing with you,
no,
Chris.
Yeah.
Chris does a great job.
We have a lot of confidence in you, Chris.
That's right.
We really do.
As long as you keep sending those checks, man.
Yeah. Oh, it's all about the money. Yes.
My family enjoys being able to eat.
Okay, yes.
Don't we all?
Yes. Ed.
Yes, sir.
How can folks keep up with us today?
Well, if they would like to watch us on their internet,
mm-hmm.
they can go to either Facebook or YouTube,
mm-hmm.
search for Today's Issues, click through, and you will see our smiling faces. Brent, which is the camera? Is it this camera up here? So, folks, we wave to thee right here if you're watching. Yeah. So
good King James use right there.
That's
Ed.
Right.
All right, Walker. What else? I was going to ask Walker something, but I've forgotten.
Well, how about the app? Ask Walker. You go, Walker.
Walker, what about that app?
I would love to talk about the app. I'm glad you brought
that's
it
That's what gets Walker going right there.
Look at his face when you
Well, said. I looked at him like, I mean, I've forgotten what I was going to ask him, but
that's all right. Yeah, you
it's
can.
It's been so long into the show, you can see how that would happen.
I know. Yeah, which is we're yeah. exhausted here.
Yeah.
You can download the app at your app store, AFR.net. It was hard to take that serious.
Yeah. That wasn't much of a promotion there. That was
well, and also, now, the App Store is for iPhones, so what do you, I asked this last week, you think for Android phones, what is it?
It's a Google Play Store.
So, Brent?
Right. Google Play.
Yeah.
Brent had the answer for you, did Walker, so let's give him credit. Brent, what's the answer to that?
The Google Play Store.
Google Play Store.
Those broadcast classes are really paying off for you.
It was. I usually can pull some enthusiasm out of myself,
right.
but... When I wasn't supposed to be called on in right. the first place, it kind of like
you know, the look on your face when he called your name.
Yeah,
because it was like, what's
I saw that look, out of order. I saw that look when Walker was 10 and he didn't do it and he didn't score well on any science test.
Yeah,
I'm doing your test today.
And I said unto him, like father, like son. All right, Chris. What do you got going?
Well, I want to begin with some developing news out of Texas. We have covered this, as has just about everybody with a broadcast license or a website. But
people need to pay. Excuse me for interrupting, Schreier. People need to pay attention to what you're about to tell
yes,
them. And we're having
right.
fun here
mm-hmm.
at the opening of the program. But what you're about to talk about is an extremely serious situation.
Yes.
Out of Texas. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
For many weeks now, there has been a custody dispute in Texas between a man and a woman. They're divorced. And the father, James, was seeking sole custody of his twin sons, James and Jude. The issue with this story is the mother of James and Jude claims that James is actually a girl. He wants to be a girl. She wants to transition him into a girl. As we have reported on American Family News and OneNewsNow.com, a verdict out of Dallas this week by a jury found that the father could not have sole custody, and therefore the mother, who is a pediatrician, could begin transition therapy for James, who she thinks is a girl and wants to call her Luna. Now, the developing situation out of this is the state of Texas is now getting involved. Governor Greg Abbott tweeted last night that the matter of 7-year-old James Younger is being looked into by the Texas Attorney General's office, that's Ken Paxton, as well as the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. Meanwhile, U.S. Representative Chip Roy from Texas has asked the U.S. Department of Justice to investigate drugs and other therapies for children, targeted for children, things like that. So we're getting state government and federal government reaction to this terrible, saddening, tragic, bizarre event. There's so many words you can use to describe this case, but are you guys glad to see that somebody in government is weighing in on this?
Yeah, the governor not only is getting involved, at least his office is exploring how they can get involved legally. And then also Senator Ted Cruz put out a pretty strong statement on Twitter yesterday about this, that what the mom is attempting to do with the child. But, you know, this is a tragedy for the child and the family. There's nothing good or about this situation. Mm-hmm. But it is bringing to light an issue that needs to be talked about because, you know, it's been widely accepted that, sure, you know, transitioning is normal. It's just a part of life if someone self-identifies. But we're talking about children here. And I think this is bringing about discussions that need to be had.
Yeah. One of our regular medical contributors at American Family News and OneNewsNow.com is a lady named Dr. Michelle Cretella. She's with the American College of Pediatricians. She told me earlier this week she was saddened and stunned by this case. Clip one.
The pro-transgender physicians and therapists who this mother has working with her son all came out and said, they admitted that James does not always say he is a girl. They all admitted that there is, quote, fluidity in his thinking. So right there, by definition, this child does not have gender dysphoria. The key words that the pro-transgender docs latch onto are consistently and persistently insisting. He clearly doesn't fit the mold. He behaves one way with his father. He behaves another way with his mother in the midst of a divorce. I mean, you don't need to have a PhD or an MD to know that this is a child who is torn between his parents and wants to please them both.
Hmm. Now, at some point this week, the judge in this case is supposed to issue some sort of decision or something beyond what the jury has done.
Supposed to yesterday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. That's been, I've seen it may be as late as tomorrow now. So please stay with us for more on this story.
Well, like Walker said, this has got a lot of moving parts. First of all, you have the sad but all too common case where you have divorced parents and there's bitterness there, there's anger, all those kinds of things that go into it. But now you have this added thing where the mother, because she's a pediatrician, and her name is Dr. Ann Gorgulas. Is that how you pronounce
something
it?
Something of
that. It looks like George with ULAS mm-hmm. after it. I'll just say Gorgulas. She's a pediatrician, so she has sole medical custody. In other words, the authority mm-hmm. to make medical decisions for the child. She apparently has always wanted a daughter. Appears to be acting that way, and since James, little James, was 2 years old, putting him in a dress and calling him Luna, and to Dr. Cretella's point, the boy clearly seems to be wanting to please both parents. How sad when children are torn like that.
Yeah,
and also Dr. Cretella is making the point that this child is not consistently and persistently claiming to be a girl in a boy's body. My understanding, the statistics show that 80% of kids who demonstrate some sort of confusion over their gender eventually grow out of it.
Yeah.
So you give drugs to a child at this age, well, I think it would be at 8. The boy James is 7 years old at this point. Some of those drugs have irreversible effects. So you can't – I don't know how this is going to go because judges are probably – going to usurp authority once again, activist judges, and they'll be the ones to make these decisions. But the legislatures and Congress should be making the law on this. These drugs have never been tested over a long period of time. We have no idea what these drugs are going to do to kids on down the road. Some adults need to step up in legislatures and in Congress and make the adult decision because politics is rapidly taking over
yeah.
science.
And, yeah, and traditionally, when our children, when our children are not in line with reality, number one, if they say they're Superman, then you just let them think they're Superman until they get maybe 10 or 15, and then you tell them, well, you're really not Superman. Here's who you yeah. are. Mm-hmm. But when you're dealing with something like this, like your biological sex, that how God designed you, that's not just a fun, you know, superhero mentality. You have to realign your child back to reality, and you just have to reaffirm their natural makeup and not start giving them these hormone treatments and this disgusting stuff that's going to ruin their life. But our culture has gotten to the place where whatever our child says goes. And if our child says that they're the opposite sex, then we just embrace it and go with it. Mm-hmm.
Except with the exception of things like anorexia. If you have a 13-year-old girl who says, I'm fat, and everyone can clearly see this girl is starving herself, she's not fat, we don't go ahead and give her weight loss supplements.
That's a good point.
We don't right. we don't play into the deception, the delusion that the girl is under. We say, no, you're not fat, and you need help
right.
to adjust what you think to what's really going on, mm-hmm. to the facts. We don't give that kind of medication. I don't know why we're doing this with transgender
yeah.
Children or children who are confused, other than to say that the LGBTQ community has lost its mind and wants everyone else to agree with them. Yeah.
There was a day and time where it was just like the LGB community, and then they added on the T. Some of the people in the LGB crowd has kind of been skeptical of what it exactly the T wants and how they believe they should live and things like that. Whether or not this continues that divide, however large it might be, we'll see. But well, definitely a bizarre situation.
I don't understand the thinking process, the logic behind the LGBTQ community who says you can change your sex and gender,
yeah.
but you can't change your sexual orientation.
Yeah.
Now that's
good
just
point.
You can change what your DNA and your chromosomes clearly say you are. You can change that, but you can't change your sexual desire between one sex or another. That makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, to add to that is you know, the same people who would say you can that a male should be treated as a female if they identify as such, mm-hmm. right? The person would say, yeah, you know, if Bill wants to become Barb, we need to call him Barb.
Right.
Even if his anatomy hasn't changed,
right?
And we're just, okay, because that's who he identifies as. We need to respect that. If you told that same person, well, I am a 5'10 and a half Anglo man who identifies as a 5'1" Tibetan woman, then they would laugh at you in your face, right?
Right.
But there's no difference.
Right.
But there's no difference. There's no difference between me identifying as, you know, as something I'm not, and it's actually worse probably, because you can prove that, did I say Bob? What did I name
Bob? Yeah, Bob and Barbara.
Yeah,
Bob and Barb.
You can prove that Bob is a male.
Right.
Okay? You can prove that.
And we can prove that you're white.
Well,
and
that's
not
true.
Not Tibetan.
And I'm not Tibetan. So, but the same person, you would say, yeah, we should treat a man who thinks he's a woman as if he's a woman, because they would laugh at you if you said, well, you self-identified as a, you know, if you're white, you self-identified as an Asian.
Well, why not? Let's do age. I'm 61 years old. Let's say I want to swap the numbers. I want to identify as a 16-year-old. I'm going back to high school, and I want you to let me in. I want you to accept the fact that I'm saying I'm 16. I want to try this whole thing over again.
There was that guy in Europe that tried that.
The guy did try it. So I want to identify as a 16-year-old. Now, there may be some people who say, okay, all right, I want to take geometry all over again. And then what happens if I want to start asking 16-year-olds out
yeah.
on a date?
Right, right, right.
You can't arrest me for being a pervert
because
I claim to be 16 years
right.
old.
It's the same thing. We're pretending that somebody is something they're not, in order, I guess, to not morally to have some kind of moral judgment passed by society, right?
To show that they want to show compassion. I appreciate that motive to want to have compassion on somebody, but you're not really helping them if you're helping them in their delusion.
Well, your anorexic analogy was perfect for that.
I think something lost in this story is the fact that this was a jury in Dallas, Texas, and not in San Francisco or even Austin, Texas. You know,
well,
yeah, a jury in Dallas, Texas.
The jury, I have mixed, I would say feelings, but it's not. I have mixed thoughts on this jury. Because it depends on what was presented to them to decide on. Because as much as we don't like these drugs that she's planning to give the child, mm-hmm. or she's vocalized that she wants to give it the child, that's not illegal. And it's historically not child abuse by definition. Do I think it should be? Yes. Is it? No. So I haven't criticized the jury yet, because it gets really complicated when they're presented. They have to only decide on what they're presented. They can't go beyond that to things like, should they give them these drugs? Should the mom give them the drugs? So
you have a mom who's a pediatrician.
Yeah.
If she's presenting evidence that says, well, the American Psychological Association agrees with me, the American Medical Association agrees with me, and disagreeing with me is my ex-husband, who's bitter because, you know, I have custody.
Right.
Well, who can our listeners pray for by name here? Because I think that's important.
Well, I would pray for the boy, first and foremost, if you were to ask me.
James.
And also his twin brother, too. You know, there's stuff about twins that we've yet to understand. I mean, imagine what this is doing to his 7-year-old twin brother.
I don't have his name.
Jude
here.
Is the twin.
Jude.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff is the father.
Yes.
And
Ann is the mother.
Yeah.
Who do we have a story on this at One News Now?
We have a story on this. Yes, it's up on onenewsnow.com. It will be about midway through the page. We're going to be updating it today. The legendary Charlie Butts is working on it today, and then I'll help him follow up on that when I'm off the show here.
And you got it on our Facebook page, Brent. So go to our Facebook page, Today's Issues, and we have the information there on this story we've been discussing the last few moments. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Walker, and Chris. Chris, go ahead.
Well, I think a nice transition here out of kind of a hard news story into some of the other stuff going on. You know, we talk about this SOGI effort, sexual orientation, gender identity, words mean whatever.
No, I don't talk
them
about
mean,
it.
Things like that.
You might.
Just
well,
on this show.
We've talked about it on this program.
The what?
Sexual orientation and gender identity.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and we talked about this several weeks ago when news of it first broke, but there was an effort, an idea in San Francisco by the city council to do away with words like felon and crimes and drug abuse. They want to substitute it for, they want to substitute terms like justice involved individual. Someone with a history of substance use instead of abuse, things like that. I mean, I took an aspirin this week, so I'm a substance user. You know, and so it continues to make headlines to the point that Tucker Carlson talked about it last night on his program on the Fox News channel. We're going to do clip 8 here, Brent.
People aren't allowed to talk about crime. Maybe they won't notice crime exists. That's the thinking. So last month, the city's Board of Supervisors decreed that there will be no more convicted felons in San Francisco. Going forward, ex-cons are to be called, quote, justice-involved individuals. Well, as it happens, the people they committed crimes against are also, quote, justice-involved individuals. So, in other words, victim and criminal are now morally indistinguishable. That's on purpose. This is woke equality.
Now, he went on to point out that the federal government, Republicans and Democrats, still refer to criminals as criminals and felons as felons and things like that. And he had a satirical video where they had a video of various people on the left using the word felon, but they bleeped it out as if they were using an expletive and things like that. But, I mean, this is just, it won't be the last time something like this comes out of San Francisco, which, by the way, still has a homeless and drug and crime and everything else problem, but they're going to change the terminology.
No. justice-involved individual.
Touche. Touche.
No, this is let me just say, I'm going to use a word that my mom said we weren't supposed to, and we told our children, my wife and I, when they were growing up, they couldn't use either, and this is stupid.
Yeah.
All right? This is ridiculous, and I don't have words other than that. So that's why I'm going with that word. I know we have homeschoolers listening. They're probably told, you do what your mom and your dad say. Don't use that word. I'm just saying this. How about this? Ridiculous. Absurd.
Yeah. Absurd is a good one.
Yeah.
And it all plays in together with even the story we just got done talking about, and that is, well, it's okay to deny reality.
Yeah.
Let's just deny what we all know is true, whether it be someone's biological sex or what they're guilty of. We're rebranding everything to, quote, not offend, and you lose the meaning of everything.
And, yeah. But the irony is, I guess it's irony, is that everybody really knows what you're talking about, okay? So we all struggle to remember, oh, we're supposed to call this boy a girl, because that's how we... So people, you know, you've had teachers fired mm-hmm. because they've made simple mistakes saying, you know, stop him from... you know, falling over and oh, okay, I'm sorry. And now everyone's going to know when you introduce somebody and you know, you say that he was justice involved. Everyone's going to know, well, you mean a criminal.
Yeah.
But I can't say it, but I'm going to think it.
Yeah.
Yeah, with political correctness, which is a broad term for what we're talking about here, you do have to do two things to comply with that ideology or system. You have to, one, be willing to deny reality, right?
Right.
Like you just said. Everybody knows that you're either a male or a female.
Right.
Everybody knows that. So in order to participate in the transgendered movement or whatever you want to call that, you have to pretend. We all have to pretend that something is something that we know it isn't, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to deny reality or pretend something is that isn't, and everybody knows it. And you have to, as I said, you have to, with that included in that is change your language. You have to change your language, and you always have to be on guard.
Yeah.
About your language.
It's like, remember the old children's story, the emperor has no clothes?
Right.
This is exactly what's going on. Remember the story that the emperor was in the buff.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone pretended he had wonderful clothes.
Yeah.
And then one child said, "How come the emperor has no clothes?"
Yeah.
And it broke the spell.
Yeah.
And eventually, I hope it's, you know, at some point, the spell's going to be broken and everyone's going to go, we're not doing that anymore.
You know, some people would probably be okay with this for whatever reason, but. I'm concerned as to what all of this will do to like the future of education and people wanting to be teachers, because 5-10 years ago we were talking about people being concerned that Obamacare was going to result in less doctors. Now, what incentive do you have to teach if you can't do grammar or math is racist and all these other things? Like, why do you want to be a teacher?
Who wants to get stuck getting threatened with a lawsuit every few weeks.
When this involves human sexuality in almost all these cases, it's, as Ed's pointed out here, it's a rebellion against the God of the Bible.
And his order, natural order.
It's a rebellion against it. How do we rebel? This is how we rebel. Everything that he says in his word, yes, I said he.
Yeah, right. Right.
Is either denied, questioned, or mocked.
Yes.
And that's how they rebel against God. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
I think I've got a stumper for you this week.
Trivia Friday. You know you laugh, and you know you always learn something.
What vegetable did an ancient Egyptian place his right hand when taking an oath?
That's funny now, but put yourself in my place.
That funny, Jim?
It is.
But listen to the question.
Trivia Friday. You'll want to tune in. 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, one of the days that we're in Israel on our March tour, we will be going to Bethlehem. And when we go to Bethlehem, we'll be visiting what's called the Church of the Nativity. And the Church of the Nativity is over the place where Jesus Christ was born. And so we're going to be seeing that very place and experiencing the place where Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And then later, we'll be seeing the shepherd's fields later that same day. So it's going to be a wonderful time. That's just one day in our trip to Israel. For more information on this March 12th through the 20th trip to the Holy Land, go to our website, twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for a career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. President Trump called the impeachment investigation a political lynching, and he triggered every Democrat inside the Beltway. Accused by the Congressional Black Caucus of being a racist, abhorrent, that's what Joe Biden said, apparently forgetting he had called the attacks on former President Bill Clinton a partisan lynching. Back in 2016, Hillary Clinton dropped the L word on MSNBC. So did the New York Times, Baltimore Sun, and Washington Post, just to name a few. The Democrats are real good at playing the judge not while we judge you card. There was Kathy Griffin with the severed head of the president and the New York City Shakespeare Company that depicted the assassination of the president. I mean, the left has called President Trump a racist, a white supremacist, a xenophobe, homophobe, misogynist, and a commie-loving traitor. Yeah, the Democrats' righteous indignation, it seems a little bit disingenuous. Just a smidge. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, one of our popular weekend programs here on American Family Radio is called Understanding the Times, and the host of that show is Jan Markell. And Jan is the president and founder of Olive Tree Ministries. They're based out of the Twin Cities in Minnesota, and Jan joins us most Thursdays here during this time. Good morning, Jan.
Well, thank you for having me.
Hey, got to ask you, how's the weather in Minnesota today?
Well, we're enjoying a lovely fall. It's on the chilly side, of course, but then it's 10 months on the chilly side here, so we're used to it.
10 months on the chilly side. That'd be a good country song right there now. I got to tell you, that would be. Jan, I was looking at your website for your it says, let's see. No, this is not your radio program coming up, but it was something about Hal Lindsey. Do you know Hal Lindsey?
I know him well. I brought him to the Twin Cities in 2004 and 2005. He's pushing 90 years old now. He's still writing and doing a few things. Yes.
Oh, he's nearly 90. Wow.
Yes.
I just remember reading his couple of his books back in the, like, millions of people, I think, back in the, late 70s?
Yeah, late Great Planet Earth, which influenced, many, many people. Yeah, including me, by the way. It turned my life upside down because I was trying to make sense of, excuse me, of end-time issues And he told me his goal in writing Late Great Planet Earth was to make the complicated pretty easy to understand, and he succeeded, yes.
You read it, Ed?
I did. In fact, it was very influential in me getting saved. My sister had come down to witness to me, and my dad had bought that book a couple of years before, and it was just on a bookshelf. And after my sister left, I just wanted something to read, and I pulled that off the shelf, and I said, this is about the Bible. My sister was talking about that. I read that whole thing that night. Wow. I didn't get saved that night, but I wound up, I wept after reading it, because it dawned on me that God was real. It was really very influential.
Yeah, Jan, what effect did that book have on you? Jan?
Well, in 1974, I made my first trip to Israel, which of course is life changing. And I know you're planning a trip with AFR, and I do encourage folks to go. It is life changing. So in 74, in my 20s, I went to Israel, and I came back. And I was handed that book about the same time, and the double whammy, so to speak, between the trip to Israel, then reading that book, and I was trying to figure out kind of how I wanted to go into ministry. I didn't quite know how to do that, but anyway, all those two experiences convinced me that I really needed to go into ministry. The rest is kind of history. I've been in ministry 40 years now. But again, the point Hal is making in that book is that the key to everything towards that's kind of directing us to end of the age issues, the key to everything is the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to have a profound effect on anybody who makes a pilgrimage there, I promise you, just absolutely profound effect.
The current political situation in Israel is that Benjamin Netanyahu has been the prime minister for what, over a decade now?
Yeah.
And
longest-serving prime minister in Israel's history, interrupted in the 90s, interrupted for a few years, early 2000s. But yes, longest-serving since somewhere in the 90s with an interruption in there.
Now, I read yesterday or the day before where Netanyahu could not put a government together.
Correct.
This is a parliamentary system they use over there, foreign to what we understand here in the U.S., although it's used all over the world, parliamentarian system. But what does that mean? Can't put a government together.
Well, it means that President Rivlin has now asked this Benny Gantz, who's far more liberal, and I pray and hope he can't put a government together either. But if he can't, then they go to their third election. Now, probably the only good side to all of this confusion is that because of the confusion, I don't think this Jared Kushner peace plan is going to be put on the table. I could be wrong, but in that they really don't have a government, at least not properly functioning government. I don't think she's going to be pressured with any kind of a peace deal here that they've been talking about. The deal of the century, so to speak.
Yeah.
Now for 2 years, 2.5 years, they've been talking about it. So that's the positive side. You know, so is God behind this, causing this confusion? Who knows? But I do find it interesting, gentlemen, that there is political turmoil in America and there is political turmoil in Israel. These are the two leaders of the free world. I mean, you think France is the leader of the free world or Germany or Mexico? No, it's America and Israel. Netanyahu and Donald Trump, who are leaders of the free, and both of our countries are under a similar type of confusion, sort of contention from within. The people who do the electing of these leaders are acting contentiously, and it's an interesting parallel.
What do you got coming up on your program this weekend?
We are going to talk about the coming one-world religion, and that doesn't really happen until the tribulation, but we see it setting the stage even as we speak, and we'll explain why and how.
Okay, and that's Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday Central Time, 1, Sunday Central Time, noon, and I thank you for the opportunity, gentlemen.
Okay, Jan, thanks. Have a good day.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. Jan Markell, we understand that there are varying points of view within the Christian right. community on end times.
And AFA does not have an official view on it.
We believe in end times.
We believe, how about if I could speak on behalf of the ministry, we believe he's coming and we're going.
Preach like that in my church, we say amen.
That's why Ed's our spokesperson.
Yeah. Ed, man, you're deep.
That's right.
We need to make a DVD.
No, the majority, probably the majority, maybe the vast majority of people would subscribe to
pre-tribulation.
Yes, what Jan's right. talking about. But we do know that there are some who differ.
And we allow, and what we encourage people to do, when I say we don't have an official view, I'm saying ask your pastor
right.
what you should believe and do your own study. We have certain cultural issues that we try to get people together to work on, and doctrinal issues like that, with the exception of, the divinity of Christ and salvation by, grace.
The essentials.
Yeah, the essentials. You talk to your pastor. That's the job of your
I think person. It was John Wesley, maybe, who said, and maybe it wasn't him who originated this, but I'm trying to, who said, let's see, on the essentials, unity. On non-essentials, charity.
Yeah,
I got it right?
He had three, and I'm like you, I can't remember. Liberty is one of them. On non-essentials, liberty. On essentials,
unity.
Unity, and in all things, charity.
In all things,
charity. I think that's it.
I think that was John Wesley?
I think that was John Wesley.
Yeah.
I would also say this. I'm a pan-tribulationist. I believe it's all going to pan out in the end.
Yeah. Whew, again, Ed.
I know it's deep. I know, Ed, folks.
I got to write these things down.
I can come and speak at your end times conference.
Does that mean that you identify as a pan-tribulationist?
Chris, high-five me on that one, Chris.
I got
that. That was right there.
I got both of those.
I'll be back on Monday. Tip
both of those.
Both
of those sayings from a pastor I served under, Cecil Pumphrey.
By the way, I should apologize. Years ago. That,
I like your down-home amen there. You had two there.
Yeah.
Does that work over there in the newsroom?
On occasion.
Okay.
I do what I can, folks.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. Walker, you have nothing to say about this whole matter?
Want to tell us about the app again?
Best thing to do is just say I agree.
Yeah, I'm on board with what.
Okay. I'm with you fellas.
With you guys.
You weren't even paying attention to what we're talking about, were you?
Well, y'all have chased a few rabbits.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we did.
And so I was waiting till y'all came back on the main trail.
Don't let him tease you. I've caught him before right. when I'm yakking away. I've caught him looking at ball scores right. before.
Right? Well, when y'all went into end times, then I went
that's
into
not the, your special
I went entry. Into Google times.
I am not an expert on that myself. I know
I'm
it's
not
I know it's not Revelations. Right. That's,
yes.
That's about it.
Tell
thank
you. What,
thank you.
It would be very interesting to have Ray Q&A with Ray Pritchard about this sometimes, because he preaches on Daniel.
Yes.
And teaches the book of Daniel.
And we talked about yesterday having him come and do a cultural institute or some kind
of
video.
One thing's for certain. Hey, I tell you who we can talk to right now. We can talk to Brother Dr. Alex McFarland.
Oh, good choice.
I think look here. We have him on now. Alex, how you doing?
Brent?
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing?
Perfect timing, Alex. You tell us how the world's going to end right now.
Well,
it's all yours, Alex.
I believe the Bible from generations to revolutions. and everything in between.
Second Hezekiah.
Hey, let me ask you this. Seriously, yes, we do know there's some things we don't know, and that is dates and times specifically. And the Bible warns against doing that. And we see fools doing it over and over again, even though the Bible explicitly says don't do that. That is, don't predict a time and a date for the end of the world or for the second coming. However, Alex, there's some things that we do know. We do know that Jesus Christ said he would come again to earth. True?
Mm-hmm. 20 times.
Physically.
Amazing in the four Gospels, a total of 20 times Jesus said that he would come back.
Okay, so you believe that's a metaphor, or you believe that Jesus is literally returning to earth from heaven?
I believe that Jesus is literally, literally coming back one day. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, I think it's verse 18, when Jesus had ascended up to heaven, these angels said to the disciples, why do you stand gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus will return as you see him go. So yes, Jesus is literally coming back, and you know, the Gaithers were right. The marketplace is empty, in the courtroom no debate, for the king is coming. And yes, he literally is coming back one day. And may I say something, and forgive me, I don't mean to correct, but this would be a good question for Trivia Friday. The, you know, in the non-essentials liberty and in the essentials agreement and in all things love, really, it's been attributed a lot to the Wesleys and a lot to Augustine, but there was a colleague of Martin Luther named Rupert Meldenius during the Reformation in the 1500s, and as far as I know, that quote originated with Rupert Meldenius.
Well, there's the problem right there, Alex. Nobody wants to say Rupert Meldenius.
Right. Much easier to say John Wesley.
John Wesley.
That just rolls off your tongue.
Rupert Meldenius. Exactly. I had that one summer when I was growing up.
Oh,
had
man.
To get a couple of shots in my foot.
Yeah, some Calamine lotion.
for Meldenius. Yeah,
AOC has a side effect for that.
Okay. Medical science has done wonders for that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Hey, so you know what? Jesus ascended into heaven when he left earth from the Mount of Olives.
Mm-hmm. Bingo.
And that's our first day on our tour.
Oh,
wow.
And our first stop, we go to the Mount of Olives, and we overlook the old city of Jerusalem. And so we're right there.
And how many seats are left in March?
I think we got eight. We got eight. So if you want to go with us to the Mount of Olives, go to twholyland.com.
And Jesus returns to the Mount of Olives, right,
it
Alex?
Could happen while we're there. I'm not promising anything.
You're not setting dates.
Yeah, so don't get over there and we come home and you say, Tim, that was a bunch of false advertising here. You said Jesus was coming back while we were there on the Mount of Olives. So I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's a possibility.
Of course.
I'm saying according to the Scripture.
It could happen today.
TWHolyLand.com. You know what? So we do know, Alex, that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth literally and physically, because that's the way he left, and that's what he promised. You said 20 times in the Scripture, right?
Mm-hmm. In the four Gospels, and then, you know, many times in the whole Bible, it talks about the end of time and God setting up his kingdom here on earth. But Jesus himself, in the four Gospels, references his literal return 20 times.
Now, We did not tip Alex off on
we ambushed him.
We're just rolling with it here.
We did not leak the questions.
Yeah, no, Alex didn't even know what we were going to ask him about. By the way, do you have something, a conference coming up or something? You've been doing these wonderful Truth for a New Generation conferences. You got something you want to promote? Then I want to get back to
you. Thank you. Yes, we're going to be in Cincinnati November 15, 16, folks. It's going to be amazing. And Abe Hamilton will be there, Erwin Lutzer, Josh McDowell. Ann Paulk, who's a former lesbian and now leading people into the truth of what reality and God's Word says about human sexuality, and she's going to share her testimony of coming out of the homosexual movement. But yeah, TNG, November 15, 16 at Landmark Baptist in Cincinnati, Ohio.
So how do people get registered for that?
Quickest way, all the info is just on my own website, alexmcfarland.com. MCFARLAND, alexmcfarland.com. And hey, Tim, I was going to ask you this. I know you've been to the Holy Land a number of times. I've been one time. But when you crest that Mount of Olives and you look across there at the most famous site on earth, the city of Jerusalem, doesn't it still always take your breath away?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. It's just awe-inspiring to say that, you know, there aren't words really to describe it. As you look, as you stand on the Mount of Olives, and then you look out over the city of Jerusalem, mm-hmm. and you can see where the Temple Mount was.
All of history revolves around that city, the most famous piece of real estate on planet Earth, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Jerusalem. I mean, the Bible. You know, my wife and I, Allison, have been going through the Old Testament. Jerusalem, 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 right. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. City of David.
Am I mistaken? Isn't the Mount of Olives near the Garden of Gethsemane?
Oh, the Garden mm-hmm. of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane is on the Mount of Olives.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. I thought it was within walking distance.
Oh yeah, kind of right down at the bottom, isn't it?
Yeah.
By the Kidron Valley.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's amazing the things you can. You know, folks. I know there are a lot of you who either you won't ever be able to afford, or you don't have the health to go to Israel. And so when you hear us talk about these things, you long to go to Israel. Of course, we will be going to the New Jerusalem, right? Right. All of us. But
yep. Amen.
But you can go online and do virtual tours, for example. You know, there's a lot of things to go to Israel. Go to their website, and I'm talking about Israel tourism, and
yeah.
You can see a lot that way if you're never able to go physically. But if you can go, I know it's on the bucket list of many people listening right now. Alex, thank you, my friend. You take care and have a great day.
God bless you all, and keep looking up because Jesus is coming.
Amen. 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 Go ahead.
I'll just say before we get to the next story,
yeah,
I got to just. One of our Facebook, I don't say listeners, viewers.
Supporters
had a really funny line. I just got to share it.
Well, please do.
This is Lloyd. I don't ever use last names. Lloyd says, we're referring back to when we were talking about transgender stuff. He said, okay, well, I'm a fat guy. I identify as a skinny person, so I'm trans slender.
I gotta give him a virtual.
Who
high
am
five.
I to say yeah, that you were not?
That, high five, Lloyd, from all of us.
Yeah, that's that
pretty
now?
Good. Lloyd.
Okay. There's a time to laugh.
Yes.
Yeah. That's in the Bible too.
Ecclesiastes yeah. Time to laugh. 3:4, yes.
I wonder if my golf buddies would accept that with me on the golf course. I'm just thinking out loud here. If I self identified as a birdie. You know what I'm saying? We know I got a bogey, but if I told the guys, Walker,
yeah,
you know, you guys, I just identify with a birdie.
I want to be with an eagle.
And that's what's going on my scorecard.
And go beyond that and just say I self-identify as a PGA Tour participant.
Yes,
yes.
I've been
yes.
on a PGA Tour.
Yes, yeah, sir. I've said before, I said, what if I self-identified as a starting pitcher for the Boston Red Sox? You think they're going to let me in the clubhouse?
You do have a baseball last name, though.
Vitagliano.
Vitagliano.
Third
base. Are
you
right-handed or left-handed?
I'm right-handed.
Oh, okay.
Does it matter, Chris?
does it really matter?
Well, I just, you know, right, the southpaw south like is a rarity in baseball.
You were getting
still,
ready judging one way or another.
I want to identify as being taller because Zacchaeus and I have a lot of talk. We will have a lot to talk about.
I don't even think we sing that song anymore because of PC.
He was a wee little man.
Yeah.
Well,
you can't call anybody a wee little man.
Yeah, yeah, that's degrading, isn't it?
You're talking about the Christian song "Short People Got No Reason."
Yeah, to live.
Jody Brown shared that with me one day when I was going on about being short of stature, and it was like you're not helping, man.
Yeah, that song. I don't think you could. Can you get by with that song
Probably.
Today?
No way.
There's a lot of things from the 70s and 80s that will never be re-recorded, redone.
Right.
Like Blazing Saddles, there's no way they would make that movie today.
You know, we played on a Trivia Friday, we play the theme songs for some of these old shows, and I'm going, Daniel Boone, well, that would never fly today. Ripping this, roaring this, fighting this, man.
Right.
The frontier ever knew. You couldn't do that.
It's my favorite line in that song.
I know. You couldn't do it. That would be encouraging violence.
Yes.
Huh?
Absolutely. And you might encourage justice-involved people.
Yeah.
To
a wee little man.
A wee little. Huh? I forgot about that.
I don't
song.
Remember.
A wee little man.
I love my pastor. I don't remember.
I just want to talk in an Irish accent.
I don't remember.
He was a wee little man.
I don't remember my pastor's sermon and reason for asking this, but a long time ago, he asked us one time during the morning service, I want you to think about something, and then tonight we'll take your answers. He was like, what do you want to be in heaven? And within like moments, I literally thought, I want to be taller. Like, that was my, I don't remember.
Right. How many inches you want to add, Chris?
I would like to just be 6 foot, you know?
Would you now?
Well, here's the sad thing. I thought for a long time that I was average height, and then I found out, sadly, that I'm not. So now I have that going for me.
What is it? What is average height?
I think in the U.S. it's like 5'8 now. But the weird thing is, our insurance company that comes and does this little health fair with us every year, I can almost say that like I've shrunk. Like I've been like a half inch shorter every time they've measured me. So at some point,
I think they should adjust the measurements to fit what you want.
There you go,
Chris.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your body. It's your health.
I got to ask. Yeah,
HR, if you're listening,
right.
I'm doing
if you want to stand on your tiptoes, while they take your height, then do it.
Chris, so you've been shrinking, have you?
I guess.
What kind of shampoo do you use?
It's definitely not Head and Shoulders.
No, I mean, I'm serious. It's been in the news, Chris. Y'all are laughing. Go to TMZ.
TMZ.
If you don't believe me, go to TMZ.
Shrinking shampoo. Okay,
I'm not going to mention the brand because I get sued, but
height,
I'm just telling you.
Despite how I look, height actually runs in my family as well as my wife's family, and my oldest daughter, who's now 10, she appears like she's going to be tall. So she's about my height now.
Maybe
she's 10.
Just haven't had your growth spurt yet.
I guess not. I'm still growing.
You can use your weakness.
Yeah.
And your quickness to.
We have lost the plot.
Hold on a second.
I thought this was Trivia Friday. It's not Friday.
You can use that to get around the big guys.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, go around them, Chris. Dart around them and lay the ball up.
I have.
All right, what's your next story?
Well, I told people several times my daughter's going to walk me down the aisle one day. Yeah. She's going to be telling me. But anyway.
He'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it will.
This is hilarious.
Go ahead, Chris.
All right, well, I want to mention this because it's in the news and people are having a good time with it. Other people are trying to make a big deal out of it. But President Trump was on the campaign trail again yesterday. He's speaking to supporters in Pittsburgh. And one of the things that President Trump is in the headlines for today is saying that we are building a wall in Colorado, which I think might be news to many Americans listening to this clip here, clip 17.
We're building a wall on the border of New Mexico, and we're building a wall in Colorado. We're building a beautiful wall, a big one that really works, that you can't get over, you can't get under. And we're building a wall in Texas. And we're not building a wall in Kansas, but they get the benefit of the walls that we just mentioned.
Where was he?
He was in Pittsburgh. He was in Pittsburgh speaking to...
It's been a long day.
That's pretty funny right there.
You know what? You're building a wall in Colorado.
And he's been hammered for it.
Yeah.
Democrats have just jumped on it.
Oh, yeah. Wait. All right, then let's give Joe Biden 6 more hours. Okay, see what comes out of his mouth.
That's right.
If you want to compare faux pas, and misspeaking, then Joe Biden is the king forever.
And this is, to me, is like when President Obama, running for re-election, mentioned that there were 57 states.
Yes.
It's just at the end of a long day, your mind slips a gear every once in a while.
I think that's what it is. That's the tiredest I've sounded. I've heard him sound in forever. The guy's just an energizer bunny.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I didn't watch the whole speech.
It might have been the type of event it was.
Okay.
Because it wasn't a rally.
Yeah, it was. He was campaigning.
Oh, it wasn't a rally?
No, it was like a conference.
Organized event, yeah.
But it just sounded, it's maybe like his voice was.
Biden, man, there's too many to count, but I remember the one a few weeks ago. I think he was in.
Yeah.
He was in, like, Rhode Island, or it was either vice versa, or he was in Vermont. But one or the other, he said, it's something in Rhode Island, and he was in Vermont.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like a rock star.
It's great to be here in Connecticut, I think, is what he said, and it was like some other stuff.
Anyway.
What's funny is, like, people from Kansas apparently can get into Colorado easily because there's not a wall there. But if you're in one of the other surrounding states, you might have difficulty.
Anyway. It comes as news to the people of Colorado that they're going to have a wall built on their southern border. Although you'd have to build a wall completely around Colorado to keep everybody. Huh?
Oh yeah. If you're not building it in New Mexico.
Hey.
And I saw a Democratic congressman, had a pretty good line about Trump's thing. She said, "Is he going to make New Mexico pay for it?" Yeah. That was a pretty good line.
Good.
By the way, the president will be in Tupelo.
Yes.
Yes. A week from tomorrow?
A week from tomorrow.
We do not have a wall here. I can confirm that.
We will be back momentarily, after the news, with more of today's issues on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.